The Trash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com
and GH Graphics and their Junket Apparel line.
And Derby Ink Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Ink. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to episode number 54 already, or 53 or something like that. I don't know, 54 of the Crash Course. Big show on deck. We're going to be talking about the Kings of Old School. Brett Riley is here in studio. We've also got Josh Decker making another one of his select appearances. Brian Tompkins here. Ben Host, I'm here with you, fresh off of a trip down to the Tom Brook Fire Department Benefit Derby. Jason Koch won that. We're going to be talking with him right around 6:30. A couple quick orders of business that we got to tend to. First, happy birthday to Rick Engelhart. October 13th is his birthday, so that was
A tough day.
Yeah, a little bit for sure. And then things have changed over at Canandaigua Motorsports Park. That show is now off of the table. Coming up on Saturday, Canandaigua Motorsports Park was scheduled to have a derby on the 18th. Brian Sipple was promoting that. They have canceled all activities at the track. So in turn, Brian is elected to shut down that derby, which is only good news for the folks in Fulton, because now all those compact cars, if they want to, they can go over to Fulton Speedway. They've got their Even Destruction program. They've got Chris Marina with the stunt show, so he's going to be doing all sorts of jumps, leaping through campers and all that cool stuff, full-size derby, compact derby, youth derby.
Boat races.
Ryan Deal is all excited about the boat race. He's going to be a boat race champion over there.
It's actually fun to watch.
It is cool.
Yeah, it's a good time to watch. I couldn't imagine cleaning up that track afterwards.
Ooh. Yeah, not fun.
No.
And then Friday we are going to be going to the New Axe Lions Club with Sciopa Racing again.
Nice.
And we're going to be doing pre-race, post-race show there, and maybe doing a little bit of work in the booth for them. So that'll be kind of fun. And it looks like Josh is going to have a stock car. And it looks like Ben may end up driving the
modified
Sciopa wagon with the Baldwin in it. It just got a new transmission put in it so that it could run.
Sweet. It's not a Mopar, so I'm going to have to lift before I shoot.
And that's the car that Todd ran. Todd ran that car at Brookfield at the Keystone Nationals and turned around and ran that again at Clarion. And he thought he could have won Clarion with it, but had some problems with it. Those problems have been remedied, and we're going to see that car on the track Friday.
I get like this weird vibe that Ben is like scared. I don't know, Ben.
Let's take a poll on the room.
I'm just busting your ball. I know you're not, but
I just got to worry if I got to bring a booster seat or not.
Oh, that's funny.
That's great.
You do need to get back in a saddle, though. I mean, you know, it's been a while.
Dude, it's just like riding a bike.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Something's got to warm up.
And jumping into a hard car right off the bat, that's...
That'll warm you right up.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Because I don't like looking
backwards. And that track is big. Big and square, right? I mean, that track is...
Mm-hmm.
You better hold on.
Well, yeah. I mean, and there's...
There's going to be some kind of a car limit, or is it... They expect a lot of cars?
I don't know, but normally...
Every time I watch videos, they get like 10, 12 cars. It doesn't look like there's a lot of...
Well, I mean, normally, I mean, Danny Trent usually runs down mm-hmm. there, and Quinsler and all them guys. I mean, mm-hmm. it's
And it's a cleanup show, so anybody's got anything left, that's a late derby, so if there's anything, they're gonna try and go finish them off.
That an Imperial show.
You can run 67s and up.
Yeah, sub-framers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No,
Was that me? Sorry.
No, that was mine.
I think it was Marquardt.
Yeah.
Everybody's checking their phones all at once.
Everybody's checking it at one time. I forgot
to mention. It's a businessman. He's busy.
No, I'm excited to go down that show because all the Sciopa videos that are out there, for anyone that's never watched them on YouTube, I mean, they got some awesome videos of runs down there, and I can't wait to be part of it.
Is that down by Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yeah, right outside.
Mrs. Wick was really excited to find out that Ben's going to be driving the Sciopa car.
Woo. Oh, she wound up, is she?
She'll probably be making the tow down with you.
Yeah, my eyes wound up.
She just messaged me and she said, if he's too scared, I'll do it.
She isn't lying. She would do it.
That's awesome.
She'd put on a show, too.
Yes, she would. Yes, she would.
But, yeah, I'm excited to see what happens now with Fulton. I mean, that's going to really change the dynamic having
a bunch
one
of
show.
Cars there.
Should be. I mean, I'd like to think so. But then we've got June 6th. the Broome County Fairgrounds, the Kings of Old School show, which is getting some early momentum. We're 7 months away from it, but at the same time, we've already got a set of rules that's going to be posted here in the next couple days. Rules are going to be mailed out here in, you said, probably a week or so, right?
Faster than that. Yeah, we'll have them out faster than that.
And, you know, we've got a lot of momentum. Dan Bolton's talking about it, and the goal of this is to get the old school guys, the retired guys, to come out of retirement and get back into the sport. And there's a new set of rules. It's a set of rules that doesn't exist anyplace else in New York. And
you want to know
it's kind of interesting that the way that this whole thing is coming together. It's coming together fast, and it's hitting the ground hard.
Well, it seems like every derby driver you talk to, whether it's a new guy or a guy that's been derbying for 20 years, they always say the same thing. I can't compete with all this high-dollar stuff. I can't. Everyone says that same sentence. You know, it doesn't matter who they are.
Absolutely.
This is kind of – we're trying to step away from that high-dollar. So it's kind of more like a – I don't want to call it a budget build, but you don't have to be rich to do this derby. This is kind of like older-style, our area derby. Right, bro?
I mean, well, I'll tell you. I mean, we're – same with the derby party, you know. Look at the people coming every year, you know, 200, 300, 400 people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just awesome.
Virginia's going to be very well represented at the derby party, by the way.
They're coming up?
Broken Hour coming up again?
Nice. He bought a two-car trailer, and he's bringing
and
stuff
gonna
up.
He's going to be bringing some stuff up for sale. Cool.
Yep.
Very cool.
That car he brought up last year was super solid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, everything was cherry.
Yeah. I was, who owns that? I want it. Oh, that was already sold.
Yep.
Yeah, he
brought the Grand Fury, right?
Yeah.
That's what I built.
But getting back to this derby, I mean, you think about it. We don't want to interrupt any other derbies. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that I can think of June 6th as of right now.
There's nothing public. I mean, no. It's an open day at this point.
So now we got, if it can be a family event, bring the kids, bring the derby drivers. You know,
you're doing power wheels. You got a bounce house and stuff like that planned too, right?
I got a 77 Chrysler wagon I bought off Nick Nicastro.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to strip it. We're going to put stacks on it. We're going to make that a car for the kids to ride around in, like, you know, a monster truck, you know.
Yep.
But we'll pull up to the thing. We'll put somebody in it, giving kids rides all day. We'll have a bouncy house. We'll have a live DJ.
You mean Preston's going to drive it, give everybody rides?
He could. Oh, his two-year-old could.
He's three.
Yeah, he could.
And he'd have a bounce.
Yeah.
He's going to give me a heart attack.
Leave all the seats and kindly leave all the seat belts.
Yeah. He'd be saying, hold on.
That's funny. I heard he's got a power wheel that does a wheelie.
That's funny.
But we say old school. We had to come up with some kind of a name, okay? Old school, in my theory, is 6-7 years ago. I mean, we could go old school where my father was running, or 15 years ago. Well, there ain't nobody going to want to run 63 Galaxies with 10 bumpers.
Right.
We got to make a little bit of everybody happy. Well, people are going to say, well, there wasn't slider drive shafts, old school quotes. Mm. Well, there was slider dry shafts. They were taking Chevy four-wheel dry shafts and making Jeep homemade sliders.
Yep.
Well, yes, they didn't have a name to them, but they were a slider dry shaft. And let's face it, 10 years ago, nobody even looked under the car.
No one cared.
No one cared.
Didn't care. 10 years ago, there was no Facebook, no internet. No, you didn't worry about, oh, this guy's bringing an Imperial or this guy's bringing a Chevy wagon, which we're not allowing Imperials. But if you wanted to go true old school, maybe in theory, we should allow the Imperials.
Yes.
We're not gonna, but that is true old school. Mm-hmm. So to make it a little happy for everybody, we'll run stock body mounts, weld your bumpers on. Who wants bumpers falling off and getting hurt? You
Nobody.
Don't want it, you know. Any tire, any weld-in center, valve stem protectors. Mm-hmm. So you got any bumpers, stock bumpers, welded on, shocks welded on, shocks welded to frames. Tires. Yes, you can run a slider dry shaft. You can run aftermarket ignition switches. You can run aftermarket steering.
I'm not running then. Forget it. Aftermarket switches. You guys are totally out of
Really?
Not running. Not going to run.
I heard Josh Decker was building you a car for that, too. It was going to be the top of the line.
I did. It was a Power Wheels. I think it was a Jeep or something.
I'm not driving those. Those are scary.
He wants an Escalade.
I would build a car.
I'm too much of a girl. I'm not running at Power Wheels. Those are too high tech for me.
Somehow, Chris, you would have your GoPro on your helmet. Yeah.
No, that's a pretty quick and easy build, really. Yeah, I mean, that's anybody that's...
It's tough nowadays to say you're just going to go with old rules, because old rules didn't have, like Brett says, there was no pedals and sliders. Yeah. If those were back then, they would have been in the rules.
There wasn't even no such thing.
Yeah.
Right. So
don't even question on it.
It's tough to say I want old school, and then you can't put certain things in the rules. I mean...
MOP gas pedals, engine mounted ones and that, they've been around forever.
Yeah.
Sure.
What's the big deal?
Right.
Who cares?
I think more what we're aimed to is we want the stuff to keep running, but we want the iron to bend.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that is old school to us, is watching iron bend.
With the people that we have interested in right now, which really entices me, is there's not going to be a certain group of guys to do any ganging.
Can't.
We don't have a group of guys local no more.
Nope.
Everybody that is interested is going to be from three guys here, two guys here, guys from, I mean, we're talking Virginia, North Carolina.
Yes.
We're talking
Ohio, Jamie,
St. Mary up north. We're talking
New Hampshire. I've heard all
Washington
that.
State.
I just heard Washington State, you know, and he says he's definitely coming, you know, but Brett's kind of right. It's everyone's kind of getting stressed out, I think, a little bit on the amount of money to spend and all these protectors and learning all this new stuff. Back up a second. We're saying back up a second. Let's kind of go back to
no
how we
protectors.
Ran.
No protectors
at all.
I like that.
And like Brett says, slider, to me, that's not a big
but
deal.
They've been
pedals.
Doing that. They've been doing it for years.
But, right. But the old school is in the body of the car.
Oh, absolutely.
Your frame, we're not letting seam welds. You can't weld your seam solid. You can only weld 3-on-3 off. You can't wedge.
Ben, I don't know if I told you, but you ought to hear the people talking. You know, we've been a little hush-hush on the rules because we wanted to make sure it was what we wanted.
Right.
We've heard Y-Framer. You heard that today from Collins's. That's what you got to have. We heard Cordova, which is what you personally said.
That would have been my car choice.
I would say 73-4 Cadillac. That's what I would like. You hear Belvederes. You hear Monocles. You hear Newports. You got Frank Palmer, Monica Wagon. You got, which is Mopars. But guys up north, Jamie St. Mary, you know that he's going to be in some kind of a GM, Chevy Impala, whatever.
Once you're able to weld a bumper on, it takes the whole, there's a wide selection. I mean, any car out there, pretty much, just about any car
out
there.
And that's our point.
And you're going to have a mix. You're not going to have a Mopar show.
Buick
you're not going to have a GM show.
And I'll tell you what we were talking about, which is going to happen. Okay, right now, we got, not that it's a big deal, but we're going to try to have this Chrysler wagon for kids to ride around and drive through the pits, get them to rev it up, get them to think, oh, man, we're riding around a derby car. Free of charge, just something for them to do.
Yeah.
We're going to have two machines there, backhoes and or excavators. They are going to be parked stationary. After the events, after the heats, you straighten your, you fix your radiators, whatever. It's not a question. It's 100% on my dime, my price. It's not... Can you do this? You bring the car over.
Can
you
ask,
can
this,
we push
this.
It down? You bring a 74 Grand Fury. You bend the rear end up a little bit in the heat. Bring it over. We'll push it down for you. Free. Here, we want to help the derby guys. Look at the derby party.
That's huge. That's huge because being able to do that, it gives everybody just such an equal playing field because there's guys, there's been derbies. Everybody's gone to derbies. Damn, I wish I had something to push this down.
Yep.
You know,
there's some. I think there was guys at Bash when we were out there that had brought their skidsters with them.
Yeah, there's guys that bring their own skidsters.
Oh, excavators, whatever. But
this here's
situation,
the thing.
They bring nothing.
This is clean across the board.
Yep.
Anybody, drive your car up, we'll push it down.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome.
But on the other hand, you know, we can't be liable. If you got, a 73 Cadillac or, use it for example and it bends up a little bit, you tell us how you want to push down, because if it breaks or goes too far, we don't want to be a no-good son of a bitch.
Right.
I mean, it's just, we aren't going to do it maliciously.
It's going to be one of those fine lines between you're doing everybody a favor and you're rigging the show.
But here's the thing, too, is after a heat, especially in our area and with these style of rules, cars are going to be bent. We are going to make guys work to get in that feature. You're going to have bent iron, so everyone's going to pull off that track bent. Now, all of a sudden, you're saying that, and it's like, shit, my front is bent sky high. Well, wait a minute. I can get the skids here to help me back down. Now you can pull into the feature a little bit more confident. I'm not saying you're going to win the derby, but now you got a little bit more hitting that you can do. You look a little cleaner.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you feel better pulling in that feature.
You just put multiple more hits you can take with the car.
Yep.
And how many fix-it
plates? It's a better show, a better feature, and everything else.
Yeah, fix-it plates. Half inch thick.
Nope, old school.
18 inches long.
No fix-it plates in old school.
I mean, that's just... That's opening up. I think what you guys got going with that class is perfect.
Well, them set of rules, and this is where we're going with old school. You know, old school is what we're hoping with the response that we got is when we look down that track, and there's 40.
Yeah.
I like old iron, but 40 cars, 50 cars lined up around the track like the old days. Yeah. I mean, that's just what it is with stock body mounts.
Yeah.
Yep.
With a wide range of age groups of riders.
Yes.
I mean, you're talking guys that are 50 right down to guys that are in their 20s.
And here's how it breaks down where I've kind of been breaking it down to guys. For the younger guys that always say, I can't compete with Brett Relier, Pete Hansen. There's going to be so many younger drivers there. First off, that shouldn't scare you ever. You got to go compete against good drivers.
So you get better.
But this will be a smaller track. So a lot of guys, this is going to be a smaller driver-style track. So for guys thinking, I don't want to go that far and just get junked in three hits, it's not going to happen. It's a smaller track. It's going to be more
driving
ability.
And then there's not
going to
be no group of guys that's working together.
And that's right. We have so much interest from all different areas
right
now.
There's not one group.
I haven't got one person that's going to say we're bringing 10 to clean house. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You know.
No.
And I think we'll have a lot of cars, a lot of different heats, and
I think
it'll break it up.
I think the inspection will be great. Mm-hmm. Mark Benjamin is in charge. He's going to answer all the questions. I don't know 100% who all of his inspectors are. He's still in the process of that. I told Mark, I said, you find who you want, who you can work with, and you be in charge. I cannot physically answer questions because I'm too much of a pushover. I want everybody happy. I just can't do it. So I have to delegate a job, and this is his job. And he is very easy to work with. He's understanding. If there's a problem, you send a picture, whatever, you know. And if he tells somebody they can do it, his word is 100%. He backs that person. I back him. But what I do know is Slam Man Mike Decker.
Yep.
He's coming out to inspect.
Yep.
That's very cool.
Mike Fedichek out of Pennsylvania, he said he'd come out and inspect. I know, and I asked them personally, and I asked Mark if it was okay if I asked him, of course. You know, great, but we want people from all different areas.
Well, these are all different guys that have seen just about everything. I mean, Mike Decker has seen just about everything else.
And we ain't talked about it. I know the rules ain't there, but we're kicking around the 80 and newer. I mean, 80 and newer, basically kind of, you know, along the lines of your rules, Ben, if it would be okay, something, you know, your body mounts and whatever. But I really would like any cradle, so you can put a Chevy cradle on it, whatever. Hump plates, 24 inches. If you do not run a distributor protector, trainee protector, all that fancy stuff, you can run kickers from the dash to the cage. Mm-hmm. Because me personally, I got the protectors. I got the trainee brace. Yeah. I got the bell housing. But I do not feel confident in my build to run with the big boys.
I would, if I had the choice, I'd run kickers.
So would I.
It's just
but
so
I heard
faster.
I heard from three people today that they can take the parts, that they got the money invested, use their build, and then be able to learn for other places. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And
if they
want
to go to Scott Wallace's show, they can they can put the parts together.
Mm-hmm. See where it bends.
Jamie St. Mary, I was talking to him today. Got a 96 Crown Vic. He wants to run his fancy parts, his training protector, his brace, to learn what will work and what won't work. You got $400 in the car.
Yeah.
What I'm saying will guarantee $1,000 a win, $150 man entry, pre-entry only, or 100% payback. So if we have three guys show up, let's just say, for example, it's Tom Dowd, Richie Predmore, Jamie St. Mary show up, that's $450 in entries. I will guarantee $1,000.
Yeah, it's like we did with the Cuba class.
Yep.
But
all you need is six cars, and it will pass that $1,000.
But now what if we get 20 cars, 20 car limit, one run, 20 car limit, 100% payback. 10 cars will be $1,500. Mm-hmm. And then the drivers, they tell me majority rules, $1,250 for first, $250 for second, $1,000 for first, $500. All the money's going back to them.
Right.
It's a show to help us.
Just to clarify, this is going to be run in addition to the regular class, right? And you're not talking. You're having an 80s and newer class as part of the program.
We're kicking around. We'll make a decision this week, 100%. By the sounds of it, we're going to do it.
The progression of that is the old iron class for us is the main class. That's where we want. We want the
and
older
the compacts and the trucks.
Absolutely, and I think those will be full classes. But where the progression of our thought was is there's a lot of guys saying like I'm stuck in this 80s style, Josh. I want to build 80s style. I want to progress in that field, and I want to start going out west. Well, there's no place right now for guys to practice this, learn the curve. So what we're saying to you is, throw some kickers in the car and send that SOB. Or put your stuff in. And Brett's right. You build the car for $400. You throw some kickers in it, and you go send that SOB frontwards all night long. And break the curve a little bit.
Or better yet, the guys who's running old school, they might not want to run their high dollar motor. Their old school motors just fine. Their Chevy 353. Ben, you had that 360 you've ran for years and run against the best there is out there in Ohio. 40 minutes.
Yeah.
You take a motor like that and you're not afraid of running it in an old school class with no pulley protector.
Of course not.
So now they want to run their good motor. Mm-hmm. They want to protect it all up. Mm-hmm. And they want to go out there in that 80s class and make a lot of noise.
Yep.
What else to do? You got a $500 car? And just to have fun, one run, no spare tires, no radiators, no nothing. Just to see what the car does.
And let's be honest, the progression of Demolition Derby is going that way. And there are guys that want to build that style. And we're kind of opening that up. It's totally separate of the old iron. Almost the opposite of what we're doing. But there's opposite kind of builders out there and drivers. Yep. And let's let them into we want you guys. If you're a kind of guy that was saying in your head, you know what, I want to run a hard car.
I'm coming anyways to watch. Why not bring a car?
Yeah.
Right. And like you say, it's you can budget build it if you want. If you want to be that guy that goes beat all the high-dollar cars with a $400 car with kickers, please. Or if you want to be the opposite guy, you just want to dump a ton of money in a car, do everything you can, and get across the learning curve, this is another show for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's going to be laid
back. But it's going to be car limited. So hopefully there's no hard feelings. I think if we do it, we'll open it up January 1st, 20-car limit. And we'll learn from, no matter how you look at it, people are not going to be happy.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? And unfortunately, I want to make everybody happy. No matter how hard I try, I just can't. Mm-hmm. And if it don't work this year, well, I'm very sorry. I will learn from our mistakes.
I think you're going to have a hell of a show.
One thing I could touch on is the rules that we're talking about for the older style, it's the exact same rules for our compact class, and it's the same class for our same rules for trucks.
We made one set of rules.
One set of rules for three
classes.
That's the way to do it. You
so simple.
Yeah.
Well, the and inspectors ain't got, oh, what was this?
Exactly.
What was that? What was this?
Exactly. For inspectors, it's very simple. And then separate, there'll be the 80s class for the larger build. So inspectors got to know two sets of rules. It's right down the middle. If you have any questions, it'll be easy to answer them. I think that we're going about this kind of the right way for our area. Listen, there's been posts and threads and all that stuff. We're listening to what you guys are saying. There's been some great ideas. We're trying to be pro-driver because let's be honest, and I'm going to say this, and maybe I'll make some people mad. Brett and I are drivers that go across the whole state, and we go into PA. We go all over the place. We know almost every promoter out there. Seems to me a little bit that promoters in our areas have got kind of laxed, not so much caring about the drivers. People show up.
I think the promoters always care about the drivers. I really do. I mean, I think the promoters care.
Some fine tuning.
They need to fine tune, Ben. I think they need to get back to remember who's getting them there, who's taking care of them.
If you do a job long enough, you get kind of
complacent,
laxed.
Yep. Yeah.
You get not that you don't care about the drivers. The Derby party. The first 6 years, I stressed. I've lost a lot of money over it. I finally, the wife, I says, you got to deal with it. I don't even want to do it no more. And it ain't that I don't care about the Derby drivers.
No.
But no matter how hard I tried, you would have some guys that would say, well, the $25 is too much money. Well, that's what your meal is. I don't want to lose money. Well, can't we do it at the bar? Well, then if we do it at the bar, then it's a different environment. Guys are drinking, they're fighting, they're
no kids. No.
Where we have it is the environment I want.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
So does it mean after the 5 years that I was laxed or I didn't care about Derby drivers? Why does Brett Relier or Terry Relier have to do this Derby party? I'm never a promoter, but I did it because who else is gonna? I mean, they're some of the biggest promoters there is that does it for a living, and nobody cares about the drivers. Why did Brett have to do it? Or Terry? It was actually my wife's idea. Well, I pretty much had a belly full of it, and they took it all over. Chris absolutely is tremendous help, and Jessica Vona and Carrie and all these girls and guys put their time in to make it worth. Why does Chris Marquardt have to do this? He's exceptionally good at it. People have to buy the videos. He's why him? If nobody else does, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So now it's up to him. And Chris, you know, not to put you on a spot, but I appreciate everything you do. Everything you do for the Derby Party, it's tremendous. This is not
the favorite part of the show.
But it's true.
I do hate it.
No, it's just 100% true.
But you deserve respect. Mm-hmm. You do not get enough of it.
Let's talk about Josh Decker.
I agree with Brett. Brett's right on target right now.
But it's the truth of the matter. I'll get back off from it. The Derby Party, what my example was, is I started getting a belly full of it. The same way with certain promoters. Not certain, almost all promoters, including we may be that way too. Right now, we got to worry about the drivers. We don't, you know, after a while you say, man, does the drivers, you get sick of getting beat up. You know, you get sick of, you know, you pay too much for that meal via the Derby Party, or it's too late at night, or it lasts too long, or it didn't last long enough, or it's too cold, or it's too this, or you didn't do the auction good enough. Getting back to the promoting. I'm sure promoters get a belly full that no matter how hard they try, they can't make people happy.
Yeah,
and with us being a fresh set of eyes, a fresh environment, a fresh place, hopefully we can get the response and the respect. And hopefully, which as well as the Derby Party, we can make it progress and learn every year from our mistakes.
Yes, keep growing with it.
And growing with it and get new ideas and make everybody happy. Everybody's not going to be happy.
You're dead
the
on.
Ones that these rules do not fit, I understand, because they're not going to fit everybody.
No.
And the ones that they don't fit.
Well, and that's the thing. If the rules don't fit a person's build, if that set of rules is not for them, don't call these guys up and bitch and complain about the rules and the rules aren't right and you should be doing this and you should be doing that. You either build it a set of rules they got and come have fun with everybody else, or just go to another show.
Yep,
that's it.
You know,
and you won't hear us screaming and yelling. It's like, yeah, if you can't build, that's it.
You can't make everybody happy.
But there's times that you've upset people and you truly didn't want to. I mean, what else do you have? You know, people get in your face or people scream or people, you know, this car's cheated or that car's cheated or whatever. And it ain't, I believe in my heart 100% that you take your inspection so seriously that it bothers you above and beyond.
That goes loud, said.
Without, you know, because it means so much to them.
Yep.
One last thing that I want to do for our show, which it may work, it may not work, I want to almost have like a mandatory inspection for the top three cars.
Post-Derby inspection. After the Derby.
After the Derby. Drivers only. Top five drivers. Drivers only. Obviously, the first place guy ain't going to want to look at the second, third, because he can care less.
Yep.
But the second, third, drivers only. Inspect the cars. We'll put them on their side or whatever it is. It's got to be safe. I believe we're going to have Scott Wallace's trailer.
Mm-hmm.
For several reasons. One, we want the drivers to gain our credibility. Because if they're second guessing us right now, what will next year bring?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Two, it is possible that an inspector can miss something. We're not perfect.
No.
So if you can show us something that we messed up on, please show us for our knowledge.
Exactly.
Now, I'm here to tell you, I don't believe for the inspection that we got going on, anything is going to get by.
I don't think so either.
But I want to know if something gets by for several reasons. I want to gain trust. Because if everything goes through and everybody says, oh, man, that was great, you know, inspection was good. Or let's just say it ain't going to be a crying, a tattletale, a whan, and whatever. Nobody has to point it out. The owner of the car is not going to be there. The second, third, fourth place guy can inspect when nobody else is around, so that way it ain't tattletale or whatever they want to say. I want them to educate me if they believe there's a problem, because I promise you that it ain't, nothing ain't got through purposely.
Well, for sure, because they'll be pointing fingers no matter what. Whether the car is 100% legal or there's something wrong with it. But everybody's there's always somebody that has a problem with something.
It's always and
when you give them the opportunity to, there you go, look at the car,
show me.
And if they take that opportunity, it's a learning experience
for everybody.
And if they don't,
then but what I don't want, because it ain't necessarily fair for the builder, I don't want somebody to inspect the car to learn.
To learn how to build a car, yeah.
You show.
Very smart. That's true, too.
Well, exactly. That's why a lot of times there's not a post. Other drivers aren't involved in a post-race inspection.
They can learn everything they're doing. Yeah.
Because.
Great point.
But we're talking a 3-4 minute.
Well, we're also talking old school rules, so really,
yeah, what can you do?
Right, there's only
you ain't pressurized.
If there's anything done, it's 100%. It's going to be
obvious.
Ray Charles will see it.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Can I just do a quick synopsis, because I know we're going to run out of time. We got to go right over to the next guy.
Yeah, because we got
to
tell everybody about Blizzard Bash still.
Yeah, I know. Real quick, I just want to jump in here, just so everyone's on the same page. For this day, again, family event we're planning for, we want you to bring your whole family. So we want you to load up your derby car, put the Power Wheels derby car for your kids in the back, and it's going to be a whole family event. There's going to be plenty to do for the kids. Bring the wife. It's going to be a whole day out. We're going to run trucks, compacts. Yeah, I know. Trucks. We're going to have a truck class. We're calling it a junk run. And what that means, there's a couple places up here that have it. Vans, SUVs, trucks. You can run full-size trucks, no four-wheel drives, hooked up. You got to take a drive shaft out. But we're going to have that
just
class.
Junk.
Just anything you want to run, just take it out there and send it. Then we'll have our compact class. We've got great rules for that. The old school class. And then hopefully we think we're going to run this 80s class if we get some guys talking about it, which maybe tonight on some threads, or if guys want to get a hold of us, kind of let us know your thoughts. If we immediately get some guys saying, I'm in, we'll make it a definite.
They can find me on Facebook. I'm Brett Relier. Find you.
Yep.
Dickhead Decker.
Oh, but we also want to have Power Wheels for the kids.
Your name's been on the screen all afternoon.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
One other thing was just the Power Wheels for the kids. I know it's becoming a big thing. Our area, there's none of it. I mean, no. GDS was the first place that had it. I think it's huge to bring your kids. Think of how exciting your son's derbying with you, or your daughter's derbying with you, we're going to give trophies away to all the kids. One last thing we didn't talk about, derby car drags. It's another event we're going to have just for fun. It's going to be before the derby starts. I want to see who's got the fastest car in New York State. You bring your gears, you bring your nasty motor, you bring all your goodies, and we're going to drag them right down the straightaway. Some money and a trophy
Chris,
for the winner.
Rules, are they up anywhere? Can anybody download them? No.
No, I just got them when the show was starting.
Well, you're fast. You're fast, right? You're over there pushing all them buttons now.
I do have them. I'm gonna make them PDFs before I load them. That way they can't be changed.
Okay.
Because you don't want any of that nonsense, and those are going to be on Smashed Empire Media.
And when
you'll have a dedicated 10, 15 page.
Minutes?
Yeah, I'll do it during the commercial.
Okay.
We had Jason Cote coming up just after this, but first we're going to tell you about Blizzard Bash. Blizzard Bash 2014 coming up November 14th to 16th. We're going to be out there with Crash Course Podcast live, doing a couple of free content, FingerLakes1.tv content out there, in addition to we'll be on the pay-per-view all weekend long. It's going to be a busy weekend.
If you can't make it, you got to watch pay-per-view, because I'm telling you, it is the best show of the year.
Insane.
It's unbelievable. The cars you'll see, the motors, the everything that you see out there is just the top notch, the best there is out there. If you can't watch it, Don't plan on hunting that day. Don't do anything. Kick the wife out. You're watching derbies all day.
Yeah, from 11
Friday to Sunday.
From 10 o'clock Saturday morning until 9:30 Sunday night. It is a busy, busy program.
That's awesome.
On the topic of the best of the best, on the topic of busy derby action, we've got Jason Koch on the line, who was down in Shenandoah County Fairgrounds in Woodstock, Virginia, taking part in the Tom Brook Fire Department Benefit Derby. Ended up coming away with a win, an impressive night out there. Jason, well done. Congratulations on the win. Just wondered if you had any thoughts on it here.
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me, man?
First off, thanks for the congratulations.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
It was a great show for a great cause, man. But, you know, a bunch of good guys and just a, you know, hard-fought battle at the end. You know, Sciopa had a great car, and Whitmore, he had a wonderful car. And it was crazy the other night that
In the feature field, you had Jason's car, which I'm not gonna lie, we passed that car on the highway, and Robert Apgar was with me. We looked at the tilt on this thing, and we're like, "There's no way that this car is gonna be able to make it because it's tilted way too much." I mean, he just had a ton of tilt to this thing. And in the feature field, you had Jason, you had Josh Wetmore, who was driving a four-door Impala that came out of the Sciopa camp. You had Steve Sciopa in a Sedagand Chevy wagon.
That was nasty.
You had David Klein, who's a multi-time Shenandoah County Fair champion, in the cage in this, put to shame any cage that I've ever seen in anything else. And it was a 64 Imperial. You also had out there in the feature Mike Klinger, who had a subframe Polara. I defy anybody to put their neck out and pick one person as a definitive winner. I mean, that's only five of the cars. That runs down just basically your top five. You had other guys that were out there. It was absolutely impossible to pick who was going to win this thing. And then at the end of it, you had Wetmore and you had Jason, who were going head-to-head, wailing on each other, shoving each other into the blocks. One car would stall, then you could hear the starter. It was cranking over. It was barely turning. And then you'd see some puffs of black smoke. It was a drag race to see who got to 60 seconds first or got the cars to refire. Jason's car shut down twice. And you could hear the starter. There was teeth missing off of something, whether it was on the starter or whether it was, and it was just, it was just grinded and everything. And finally, it fired up, and he was able to prevail in this thing. It was an outstanding feature.
Yeah, the starter didn't want any part of it at the end of the night. The fan was buried hard in the radiator, and everything was hot, and it just did not want to start over. But teeth broke off and all. The guard speed shop never let me down. She fired right up. So.
And when did you get that motor?
I got that engine just before Brookville.
And it seemed to perform pretty well for you.
Oh, yeah, it ran absolutely like a top.
What gear were you running?
513.
Hmm. It sounded responsive when
he
said it. I watched the video a little bit on, and when he stepped on it, he was motoring. It sounded good.
Did it make you nervous at all to be in a bubble going against Imps?
No, that's where I'm most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
What,
nice. Fair enough.
That's awesome. What year body was that?
98, 99 Lincoln, something like that, right there somewhere.
Yep.
And that had a leaf conversion on it, right?
Nope.
You didn't run. No. You're allowed leaf conversions. I didn't even think to look through the course.
You were allowed leaf, but I didn't have the leaf conversion. I just had the rear end plates.
And were they allowed plating on the front frame rails or kickers or anything like that, or were you just straight up?
We were allowed one kicker. You could pick whether you wanted one between the bar and the distributor protector or one side or the other.
Yeah.
I ended up keeping one kicker on the passenger rail. And then they had, they allowed the same thing that Bo Lockwood was allowing up at Brookville. We were allowed the 11-inch bumper bracket, mm-hmm. Of our choice. So.
Nice.
Interesting.
Now, were you concerned at all? I mean, first I got a question. Is how did you get that much of a tilt out of the car? Was that cut and fixed twice or – Are we barking
that's,
up?
That's single tilt at the transcross.
I mean, it had so much space, and the thing was hard as a rock. There was a lot of guys.
Right.
Yeah, there was a lot of guys that were concerned about this whole one kicker rule. If you had to pick what rail you're going to put it on, it's going to put pressure on one side where there's no pressure on the other. It's going to make the non-kick side go faster. You didn't have any problems with that at all.
No. Honestly, if I would have really, I didn't, I read the rules and it said one kicker, and I really kind of thought it was a typo and probably should have called and asked. If I would have called, I would have ran one to the distributor protector instead of just having a single kicker.
Right.
But I just put two kickers in it and got there and had to cut one and just picked what I thought. You know, I mean, you always try to stay square, but if you get off, you know, pretty much everybody is like, you know, hey, at least protect the steering box side. So I knew if I was going to be driving in on one corner, it was going to be with the passenger corner. So I tipped that one, and it worked out.
Well, that's interesting. That was totally opposite of how I would have thought that through. You know, that's very interesting. It worked.
That was a 9802 frame. That was a frame, that same frame with the body.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and just because it was a Brookville car, I mean, they didn't allow us to change one or the other. You know, if you picked a 98, you had to run a full 98 frame.
Oh, I mean, pre-ran.
If not, a lot of us would probably run a 91 or so, you know, rear clip with a 98 newer front clip. But, you know, they didn't allow that when the car was built for Brookville, so that's what it was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the cars that were out there on the track with you, from your perspective, let's start with the heat. You had just a torrid battle with Sean Gokenauer and his Lincoln, and it ended up knocking the steering box into particles on his Lincoln, so he didn't come back out for the feature. Did you have any concerns or reservations about what the heat was going to do to your car in terms of the damage and how aggressive you were driving early on?
I come out of the heat with a lot more damage than I expected. Really, I mean, Sean caught me not paying attention and, you know, put my back bumper clean up in the back window. You know, I definitely wasn't expecting that, so you know, I was, you know, fortunate enough to catch him in a situation up against the wall where I could get his steering gearbox and slow him down, because you know he was definitely having a heck of a go with my car. I come out of the feature, out of the heat with a lot more damage than what I was hoping for sure. But you know, back half of the car anyway.
And then how did that affect your strategy? Because we had David Klein's Imperial that was out there, and that really wasn't moving at all until Klinger got a hold of that and made the back bumper a chew toy for about 15 minutes. And finally got that to start going away.
I was extremely concerned going into the feature. I really didn't think I brought enough car. I mean, like you said, Klein was still straight. Sciopa's car was a monster. Josh Wetmore's car, just beautiful piece. And I really didn't think, you know, that I had enough car. But, you know, really just come down to patience and, you know, most importantly, drivetrain. You know, I mean, everything was there at the end of the night. You know, like you said, it was the one that started last was going to win last, and you know, fortunately mine started, so I mean that's kind of where it shook out.
So that being the case, everything considered front to back, how rewarding is this win? I mean, you go in there thinking you don't have enough car, and you're out there with the class of drivers that you're with, and you end up having essentially the piece that you're questioning ends up being the piece that prevails.
It was extremely rewarding. You know, it's been a while, you know, since I moved out here from Indiana. It's been a while since I, you know, have had the opportunity to run many big shows. You know, went to Brookville with big hopes this summer and had, you know, crazy rear end problems. You know, you guys know I broke an axle in the inspection line, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm, right.
But you know, I took the same car, put, you know how we are. I mean, we live in the garage, and I lived in the shop from the time I left Brookville to the time I went down to the Virginia show, and it showed. You know, I mean, it worked out.
It did work out well. Is this a show that you're going to keep on your calendar? They're already talking about doing this again next year.
I would definitely run it again next year. The promoters were stand up guys. They stood behind what they said they were going to do. I mean, there were a lot of guys that showed up thinking, you know, hey, it's just a show that nobody's ever heard of before. We're going to run what we want. And, you know, I mean, they stood behind what they said. They made the guys make the changes, and, you know, nobody got the free pass. You know, I mean, you know, there was some concern that, you know, well, you know, this guy kind of knows this local guy, and is it going to be a problem? And, you know, just there wasn't any of that. I mean, you know, I watched guys that I honestly didn't expect to see have to cut anything, you know, because I knew the relation between the promoter and those guys, and, you know, they were having to cut the same thing as everybody else was. So, I mean, yeah, I would, you know, I would definitely support the show in the future.
Jason Shipe's the guy that put this show on, and he hasn't really done a whole lot in terms of promoting before he got into this. And they elected to do a derby as their benefit, as a fundraiser for the fire department versus doing chicken barbecue or whatever. They have a great population of derby drivers in Shenandoah County. We've talked about that a million times with Mark Wolf and mm-hmm. Sean Gokenauer, and mm-hmm. just great,
some
great,
great builders,
great builders, and you know,
great
hard
guys.
Builders.
Great
and all-around good guys that support Derby big time. And there was a lot of talk that because Jason is so intimate with those guys in that community, that, that it would be a plate for your buddies and rules for everybody else kind of thing. And it absolutely was not. He took this task very seriously, worked very hard to promote in the show, didn't sit back and just put his feet up, kind of like what you guys are doing with this Kings of Old School show, getting out there and answering questions and being ahead of it and making the drivers feel like they're wanted. Still, some guys had some concerns about it, and they were there watching, mm-hmm. taking notes, mm-hmm. learning. Kind of
what
like
was what got second, Chris? What got second? What was it?
That was Josh Wetmore's four-door Impala.
Oh, it was an Impala?
Yep.
Now, was that a built motor? Do you know Jason on?
Josh had one of the Siopas cars. That was Todd's Impala. I believe that was at Bash for Cash, well, if I'm not mistaken.
The reason I was asking.
Baldwin motor probably.
The reason I was asking is was it a stall and start? You know, you don't know how hot they were. I was just curious, you know, because I know what
Sean I'll tell you what I tell you what I can tell. I'll tell you this, that as many cars as were getting hot out there, I didn't smell any fabric softener.
No Downing?
No Downing.
They might have used snow.
Come on, guys. Yeah. Non-scented, maybe.
Yeah. They have all natural.
What? I'm not sure when Josh lost coolant. I know probably less than 10 minutes in, I had the ingenious plan of hitting Klein in the back of his Imperial that was rolled up with the end of my radiator that didn't really work out in my favor. So
I seen you were steaming early. But I was just curious, you know, because around here we don't really have, you know, motors for say that are you know, there's a few, mm-hmm. and we're still old school. We're running,
stock
you know.
Stock
Steve had the Baldwin in his.
I got a 355 that, you know, a local shop put together for me, and not for say a name builder, and Shenandoah County. I was just curious. You know, the drivetrains, you know.
There's not a ton of those aftermarket motors.
How long was the feature?
At least a half hour.
Okay, yeah. So it was a good amount of
time. They were out there a while.
They were hot.
And they were going at it. I mean, Robert had gone down there, and he'd never seen Shenandoah County before, and I told him, you know, they get aggressive. And he's like, I didn't expect that.
Not to get off the subject, but getting on that fabric softener, I was at Hartford, and Mike Fedichek comes up to me, says, "Brat, I don't know what's going on out there." He says, "But somebody's got air fresheners in their car or something." He says, "I started
smells like
laughing."
A laundromat.
I says, "What?" He goes, "Yeah." He says, "I'm telling you right now." He says, "I went by somebody and I looked in my back seat." He says, "And there's air fresheners or something." He says, "Talk about, you know, smelling." You know, And getting back, you know, that just cracked me up, you know. With
whenever I go in my yard when I mow my lawn and I go past that car of Rick's that I had a shitload of Downy, and all I smell is that Downy. That smell reminds me of Rick, actually.
That's that picture of Facebook I had on there when I first seen – when I was at Brookfield that year. It was a year that Hippie broke his wrist.
Yeah.
And Rick goes out in the
2012.
Heat. He goes out in the heat, and he comes out, and he's steaming, and, you know, he had a rat a barrel or whatever, you know, just a box of water, and he comes out, and he's steaming, and he was – 12 minutes. And he goes, "Oh, man, I know why I was steaming. I forgot to put this in there." Mm-hmm. I look over and he's pouring damn Downing in it. I says, "What the hell are you doing?"
Yep.
He looks at me with that look and he just smiles.
Yep.
I take that bottle out of the back of his truck and I hold it up. I take a picture of him with a Downing. And I says, "Ha, I got you." And I was just being a smartass. Well, then he went out in the feature run for 30 minutes right flat on the floor and never steamed.
Yep, yep.
I scratched my head. I said, "Well, I'm going to be trying this."
Absolutely.
I don't know what it does.
I believe it works myself.
I'll tell you what. Jason mentioned his Guard motor. This summer, I was talking to Jeremy Guard, and I asked him about water wetter, because I know, like, my brother's modified.
Glycol or whatever.
They'll run water wetter. So I asked Jeremy about it. I said, "What's the deal with water wetter?" He goes, "Run fabric softener." Yeah. I said, "What?" And he goes, "Run fabric softener."
I know that
it's
you know,
the same
Chris
thing.
Has to get going, but I'm here to tell you that was funnier than hell.
Oh, yeah.
You ever do anything like that, Jason? Do you run fabric softener in yours?
Yeah, I do now. And, you know, 7 years ago when I bought my first Guard off of Jeremy, it was Dawn dish soap. It was just, you know,
a little bit of Dawn
dish soap. Yep. And then, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, you know, they've changed over to the fabric softener, and you know, now you know, it's not much, but I mean,
what do you believe it does? I mean, my mentality, Jason, on that,
the water. It breaks down the surface tension of the water.
That's what I was thinking, the boiling point.
No, it's not that. What it is it makes the water molecules more slippery. All it is you're putting soap in, and it makes the water more slippery.
You're lubricating the cooling system. You're keeping the water pump from building friction. And,
right.
You know,
it just keeps everything stuck
I don't
inside.
Know what it is, but it's I believe it works. Oh, yeah. And hearing Mike tell the story that somebody was out there with damn air freshener.
That's classic. Because,
you know, he didn't know I did it. And he's like, what the hell? And it just made me laugh.
That's so funny.
Yep. That's awesome. And that's what Jeremy said, too, as he mentioned before they used to use the dish soap, but that would bubble.
Yeah.
And the fabric softener doesn't bubble, so that's why everybody went
to ran that wetter water one time, and when the radiator hose blew, it caught fire. There was something flammable on it or something.
Yeah, glycol is flammable. It's made of glycol base.
It's
alcohol. And that's flammable.
What's next for you, Jason? I mean, are you done for the year? Are you going to try and make another one of these shows? I know we've got New Alex coming up on Friday.
I don't think I've got anything else on the schedule for the season, unless something comes up that I'm not aware of that's going on around. But
Fulton, October 18th.
Trying to put a game plan together for next season.
Bring that car. Now, is that car done? I mean, in all seriousness, are you done with that car, or are you going to try and run it again?
It's probably done. The rear frame rails in front of the rear tires. The last hit that Mikey Klinger got on me there down at the far end of the track set the frame rails about 3 inches off the ground right in front of the rear tires and just completely blew it out.
Yeah.
It's got the tank bracket held the suspension back where it belongs, but the humps themselves just wrapped right around the cage and come on forward. It would have to be somewhere that allowed a pretty elaborate cage to be able to jack the frame back into place and stand any chance of keeping it there.
Yeah, you could bring it up there.
I know Sandusky, Ohio, Erie County has a modified class, and Rick Clark brought his Ford that he ran at Bash for Cash, and he took a torch and just bored two big holes through all the sheet metal that had packed up in front of it and ran a bar from the bar that he had at the seat across the top of his fuel tank protector and right to the top of the hump.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have to worry about it moving.
I wonder if Hanson will be getting that Revy to New Alexandria.
Hey, he's laughing.
That'll take him home.
Yeah, okay.
That'll go right after him.
Just stand on it. You'll bend that Revy.
You gonna catch any shows? I mean, not necessarily to drive, but you gonna try and make it out and watch anything? There's still a handful of shows. I know Mike Klinger was talking about a show that he's got. He still hasn't even started his car for, but he's going to be participating in on Saturday. And I missed the name of it.
I'll tell you, Mike.
I've got to get a hold of Mike and see what is going on, what's left yet. Because, like I said, I've got a couple cars sitting here that could go somewhere, if somebody was running cleanup style rules at the end of the year. I mean, this time of year, everything's a little more patched up, but if it's somebody that's running cleanup shows, I can slide in somewhere.
Mike deserves a lot of respect. He's a good builder. He's a good driver. He I've seen him run a few times. I've derbied him a couple times, and I tell you, Mike,
he's good every time.
He deserves a lot of respect. Mm-hmm. He don't seem to be running with anybody. He's a hard runner. He's a hard builder. I never got to talk to him, but
he's not discriminatory. He will hit whatever's in front of him.
Oh yeah,
he will just
drive through it. That's for sure. If you don't respect Mike, he'll cram the respect down your throat. You'll respect him at the end of the night.
It was, a couple guys that had some tough luck. Sean with a steering box problem, and then Mark Wolf had some axle issues in his Lincoln. So
axles,
it was unfortunate.
That was Derby karma for Mark Wolf. He kept picking on me at the beginning of the night for losing axles twice this year. So that was just Derby karma kicking his butt.
What do you run for axles, Jason?
Big ones.
What was the question?
What do you run for axles?
Believe it or not, I'm just running 31 spline GMs.
That's all I run. That's why I was just curious.
Now, why run 31 spline GMs versus some of this crazier aftermarket stuff?
Cheaper.
$2,000 difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
I run a lot of. I've only broke one 31 spline axle ever.
You better knock on wood.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, don't.
I agree
what are you
it.
Doing, man?
Yeah, I had never even had a problem, and in all the years of running them, I've never lost a derby because of them. Until the Brookville deal this year, and then I went from there down to the Woodstock Fair show and lost two axles at the Woodstock Fair. I was like, really, enough is enough.
I lost one show because of an axle Danville one year. Come down to me, Chuck Chapman, and Brian France. And
is it because for years we run stock gears with stock axles?
Well, not GM, but yeah.
You still, I mean,
8 3/4 are junk.
Shut up. That's not where I was going. Where I'm saying is not everyone's running gears and everything.
For me, so I hope to have 35 spline 49 inch setup for next year that Adam's right. putting together for me. So
now that you're now we're stepping it up, I mean now you're snapping axles. I think easier than it used to be.
I think it's just you're putting so much more torque on them.
Yeah,
I
you're mean, twisting the ends.
You're running higher horsepower engines with more gear. I mean, you're turning, you know, 5,500, 6,000 RPMs. Mm-hmm. I mean, those axles are built for running 55 over a highway.
You know what I mean? I think you were turning 5,500 over the wall at Penn Yan.
There's a good chance. Thanks for the use of that motor, buddy. I appreciate it.
A half inch center on your wheel too, so you're running a wheel that weighs practically 100 pounds a piece too. Right
yeah. Very good point.
Yeah. So David Klein, okay, David Klein shows up with that Imperial, and he's got a dually rear end in it, and the reels that he's running. He's taken the outer dual and flipped it around
yeah.
and sucked it right tight underneath the body so yep. you can't get to those tires if you uh-huh. want to.
Right. Uh-huh.
And
good idea.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Real quick, you asked me before the show about
it. I got to the right rear at the end of the night, but when yes. That was because the trunk was flagged straight up and I could reach it.
Right.
In the 80s class.
And what was that?
Before the show, Ben was asking me about rear ends for the 80s class if we do it. Mm. And there won't be a rule on rear ends.
Whatever rear end you want to run.
Yeah. Any size rear.
That's cool. You going to go back down to the fair next year? I mean, I know they've got the postseason show. You talked about being at the fair this year. I didn't get the chance to get down for that, but I heard it was a great program. You going to be doing that again next year too?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the best local shows. I mean, you guys seen the track. I mean, the track is phenomenal. The length is just great, and it you know the crowd loves it because you can put on a hell of a show.
Yeah, I was down there for the fair in 20. I was down there for the fair in 2011, 2012, and 2013, and we didn't make it this year. We had Melissa's mom passed away, and we couldn't make it down. But I was glad to see that Jason was putting on this fall show. Able to get down there and see all those guys, and it was absolutely worth the trip. I mean, it's such a great show down there, and the facility is outstanding. Got a little hairy when. I don't remember the name of the guy that went over the wall, but he got escorted over the wall when Sciopa hit him doing about 40.
I couldn't believe the people in the stands and
it was packed.
Yeah,
I mean, it was packed.
Well, just the video that I've seen from you, I mean, one, the drivers mean it down there, and two, there seems to be a lot of support for the derbies.
They love it down there.
Are there a lot of derbies down there, or is it?
It's not overly saturated, but there's derbies down there.
And I think that probably helps. I mean, if you don't have an oversaturation, you know, if there's 10 shows. Instead of 20, those 10 shows are going to
fill
up.
Yeah,
fill
are
up.
Go.
And I mean, people are going to
Jason, oversaturated.
Jason, you were there at the fair. I mean, the fair only generally draws in terms of full size cars between 18 and 24 cars on a yearly basis, and they have it Monday and Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're
right.
They're derby nuts down there.
It's kind of the situation that you guys were just discussing. You know, I mean, unfortunately, the more derbies there are in the area, the less cars there are per show because I mean, there's just so yes. many of us with so much time to. I mean, you guys, you know the time it takes to put them together anymore, and even at the county fair level, you know, there's practically nobody just doing a true stop, you know, beat the windows out and go. So, I mean, there's just so much time involved, and, but, you know, car count shows a little bit, but...
Well, I think small like shows
said,
like...
If it's not oversaturated, which the area is not, you know, we have a better car count than what, you know, I mean, I know when I moved away from Indiana, I mean, we were lucky to draw 10 to 15 cars at a lot of the shows just because... There was, you know, three places to choose from every night, you know.
And I think our area is like that. I think I'll personally say New York is oversaturated with shows. There's so many $200 shows, $500 yeah. shows. They're burning us out. They're burning our bigger shows out because people are wasting their time and effort at these shit shows. And we need to, you know, we got to kind of
start. Really
It's because they had the persona that they can't compete at the bigger shows.
Yep.
Which is
it's just not true.
It's just a bullshit.
It's just not
and
true.
This is a prime example. What you guys are doing is a prime example of it. I don't give a shit if you have a $200 junkyard motor,
yeah,
or if you have a $2,000 motor, yep, or a $4,000 motor to run this class, that old school class you guys are talking
stuff's
about.
Stuff's gonna bend. Anybody's gonna get hot.
Anybody can compete in that class.
That's what we
and
want.
That is the persona. And
that's
we've talked.
What we
everybody's
want.
Talked about it. I mean, and that has to be broke.
Yep.
And there's a lot of excellent drivers and builders that don't go run. Bigger shows under that perception that they can't.
Jason, would you rather build a heavy car or would you rather build something that's simpler and more the way that it was 15 years ago?
I would definitely rather build the way we are now because I can build one car and run it all summer, and I try so hard to get that through, you know, get people to understand that. You know, like, oh, you got so much work in this car, and I'm like, yeah, but you built six cars this year, and I built one.
True.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're not building lots
my,
of cars.
My thoughts on that is, you know, spend all winter building one good car and make sure your, you know, your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted and run the hell out of it all summer.
But how do you build one good car?
Every waking moment in the garage trying to get another one together for the next weekend. So.
Yeah, but prime example is Green's car this year. He ran that what? Three to four times.
Plus. Okay. That was on the track six times because of heat feature.
It was on the track six times. And by no means. That's why we want to have an 80 and newer. And I've built hard cars and I've gotten lucky and et cetera. Everybody is different. I don't know if there is a right or a wrong answer. It seems so every time I tried, I had the hardest car you could possibly get at Belfast a few weeks ago. One shot. Of course, it was my own fault. Yeah. I didn't have a slider, but it fell out.
Yep.
I had a 77 New Yorker, stock build. I won 1,000 with a stock motor, no fancy stuff. I won 1,000 with it at Broome County. Come down to me and Richie Predmore in a fresh 67 Imperial. I took it to Seneca County. I mean,
Donnie Hartzell. You and Josh Buell at Broome. You and Josh Buell at Broome.
No, not with that.
No, that was the Cadillac.
No, he said wrong. It was a Weagle.
Yeah, it was a Weagle.
I'm sorry, a Weagle. Come down to me and Richie Tyler County.
Right. He won so much, he gets it mixed up.
Then I took that car to Seneca County. Come down to me and Donnie Hartzell. Fresh Newport. I won that. Stock motor.
GDS.
Then I took it to the GDS. Won GDS.
Then you took it?
To Canceraga. I won Canceraga.
This is a stock Chrysler we're all talking about, everybody.
You know, I won 43.
I love that.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that, right?
I want to know. But what my problem is, it seems, and this is just me because I'm not the good builder, but I run one car, a built car, spend 2 months building this. Now, don't get me wrong, my Cadillac I built that Mike Decker helped me with, that was a good car. I ran that five, six times this year. I took it to Hartford. I won Broome County with it. And come down to me and Josh Decker, or Josh Buell.
Good enough.
It was a good car.
I think you would have won another one if you put gas in it.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I think you sabotaged me more.
Drained your gas out.
But you know, come down to Morris. I should have won Morris with it. But I don't know. In my situation, I can't get a hard car, a hard bubble top, to last all summer without plating it. Nobody around here lets us plate it.
But right. Out there, they're allowed to. You know, right. After they bend it, they pull it back down.
Jason,
yes.
Can you plate after yours, or is your car just that hard? I mean, what if you ran it all summer? What is all summer? 5, 6, 7 times?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple different cars, I guess, is the biggest advantage. Is, I mean, I've got, you know, most of the time I've got 2 Pro Mod cars that I can run, you know, depending on which one's set up for where. And we run, like, a show in Charlottesville, PA, where I've been running the same Chrysler up there for 3 years now.
Yeah,
right.
I didn't run it a whole lot this summer because I was running around everywhere else. But, I mean, a lot of times I run, like, 5 times a year up there. But, you know, I mean, on what you're saying, I agree 100% on, you know, it's not for everybody. I mean, I've always said, you know, I think you need a heat for everybody. I like the fact that they're running the Pro Mods and the stock classes and stuff. I mean, you can't go to Daytona with the Monte Carlo you bought at the dealership and expect to compete.
That's right.
At the same time, you don't want to go to the local racetrack and run against, you know, Jimmy Johnson in his Hendrick Motorsports car. You know, I mean, I agree 100%. You need both to make it work.
Well, that's the goal. I mean, that's really the goal that everybody's trying to find, is where that happy medium lies.
Well, I think, too, is we as a show started going.
I forgot. Lake to Lake Girls is tonight.
Yeah, as we started going out west, we learned and watched so many different stuff and how great shows are out there, because we went to some awesome promoted shows. And I think on Brett and I's side, we want to bring a little bit of that back, because there's a lot of guys that can't afford or can't get time off or whatever to go see those. Yeah. What if we could bring that back to this area?
Congratulations on the win, Jason.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, thank you. And I was going to say on that, you know, I mean, the builds have changed out here on the east so much in the 5 years I've been living here. When I moved out here 5 years ago, I honestly thought somebody stuck me in a time machine and shipped me back 30 years in time. I mean, they were, like, you know, all of the shows were running, you know, doing stuff that, you know, in Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, we haven't been doing for, you know, 20 years. You know, so, but in the last 5 years, it's really, really, really come around. You know, I mean,
wait till you come up here.
A few people out here have pushed it along, and it's a lot more comparable now than it was 5 years ago.
And that's eventually the progression of every area. So you kind of have to roll with that. Our area is going to have to roll with that.
We went out in Ohio and got lessons in, and we've been.
Well, Ohio's a whole little country of its own.
We go out there thinking that we're gonna, you know, we're builders. The only thing we got was a lesson. Not to go back.
Ohio has some of the best in the country, yeah, though. You know, Ohio's incredible.
Well, Jason, man, I appreciate you coming and hanging out with us. We are out of time. We got to get going. Lake Lake Girls are coming up next on FingerLakes1.tv. Jason, again, congratulations, and we do hope to see you here again real soon.
All right, thanks, Phyllis. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, we'll see you soon. Good luck.
Nice talking to you.
See you, bud.
Take care.
There goes.
That's Jason, why you're dirty right there. He went out there against Imperials in a bubble. Like, to me, I'd say you're nuts. Bubble. You're nuts, I'd say.
I had that conversation yesterday with Pete Hansen. I was telling him about us wanting to do this 80 show. He says, let it all go. Well, I'm a little scared of letting old iron go because I don't want to lose,
yes,
quote-unquote, old school.
Yep. Yep.
But he says, there ain't going to be nobody scared of an Imperial and a 2000 Vic. I'm like, I would be. Them Imperials are heavy.
I would.
Mike Brown wouldn't. He told us that.
That's true.
But look at all them guys. Look at Jason. He ain't going to be scared of Imperials. You know what I'm saying?
Jason's it's a real good dude.
But it don't work in our area.
No.
That's not going to work in our area.
Agreed.
Not yet.
One last thing, Chris. I just hope everybody, if they have any suggestions, let me or Josh, Chris know. Not by any means saying that we can or cannot do it, but we're always open to suggestions, and we're going to just do the best we can, and hopefully everybody's happy, and
stay
make a
tuned
good day
because
of
there's
it.
There's a ton more information coming out. We're not letting everything out of the bag as the year progresses. We'll let more out, but tons of stuff coming down the pipeline from
us. You got to hang out. You got to keep some stuff under wraps so that you can keep the momentum going. Everybody coming back more.
And we got some good stuff coming up. So
I wish you would
stay tuned.
We've also
shut you down.
We've also got more information coming out for the Derby party as that stuff comes around. We got to get out of here, guys. Thanks a lot for hanging out. Congratulations again to Josh Koch on his victory.
Jason.
Yeah, right. Josh Wetmore and all the guys that were out there. Well done. It was a great show. And only wish you the best of luck as you guys go forward as Kings of Old School. That's going to do it for us. We will be back next week. Stay tuned for Facebook for more updates on Crash Course appearances. We got new Alex coming up on Friday.
Yes,
and we've got
exciting.
Fulton coming up on Saturday. So good luck to everybody, and we'll catch you next week.